is everybody back?
Yes.
Looks like it. Okay, good. So before we get started with our speaker for today, I wanted to ask if there were any announcements.
Tamara, this is Andy at Virginia Space Grant. I just wanted to let everybody know we're planning on a nice teacher professional development in April. And there'll be more information coming out on that soon.
Okay, is this an online thing that people could register for? Or?
Right, we've got three different categories of participant. We're going to have in-person participants here at Langley. We're going to have two-way teacher participants, so we can see them, they can see us, and we can talk back and forth. And then we're also going to have, through the NASA Digital Learning Network, a webcast that people can just view, you know, one way virtually from anywhere.
And how many people do you anticipate participating?
We're going to have 25 in-person and 10 of the two-way virtual participants, because this is kind of our first time headed out this gate, and we're going to just see how that works, and then hopefully the second go-round expand that.
Sure.
But it's unlimited as far as how many people can tune in via the digital learning network. That can be, you know, any number.
Okay. Great. And what is the focus?
It's going to be climate literacy. We're bringing in different NICE Earth system scientists, and we've kind of got them lined up, so I could probably say who they are. Juliet, you're on here, right?
Yes, I am here. I just muted myself. Hi, how are you?
Juliet's going to be, I think, on our last. We're doing four sessions after school, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Tuesday, Thursday, so it's 2 weeks. And Juliet's going to be on the fourth session talking about how teachers can do videos with their students. But the theme is mostly, the four sessions are, first, we're just talking about greenhouse effect. It's positive attributes. And then second session is moving into increased temperatures. And then, you know, and how you can measure that. We're going to be using globe protocols and that kind of thing. And the third session is on how temperature increases can change plant phenology, and the fourth session is bugs and birds, effects of climate change on them. So it should be interesting.
Good.
Yeah. Something new from NICE.
Good. Any other announcements? Well, I tell you that most of you are aware of the NOAA Environmental Literacy Solicitation, and so that's going on, and that should be an interesting competition, too. They're significant-sized awards, but there's not going to be very many of them. So I just thought I'd let everybody know that that's going on.
And a caveat, this is Peg, and a caveat that it's all pending funding.
Ah, yes.
Yep, that's true, too. That's always the case. Okay, are there any other announcements? Well, if not, then we'll move on to our presentation today. We have Laura Tenenbaum from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and Laura has given talks on the NASA Climate Change website before, but this is an update with all of the new and exciting new things that are on it. But Laura is an innovator in science communication and a member of the Earth Science Communication team at JPL, and she's been working for a number of years now on this global climate change website. So with that, the slides are posted both in PowerPoint and PDF format on the website, and it says here that it would be useful for you to be able to access the site, the climate.nasa.gov, along with the slides. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Laura.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
So as Tamara said, this is going to be kind of a talk about a website, and the website, of course, is everything clickable and interactive. And so what I tried to do with the PowerPoint and the slideshow is just kind of to give instructions so that everybody hopefully has access to what I'm talking about. So you know, what I have on my computer is I've got the website open, but then I've got the slideshow open at the same time. So that's what I'm kind of hoping everyone else will do too. And then the other thing I wanted to just start with is, you know, this is a chance for everybody on the call, hopefully, to, you know, make comments and feedback and questions and suggestions. So, you know, please chime in. You know, you don't have to be quiet. So, as Tamara was saying, this is the first time I've presented in a couple of years, and you know, we're always trying to update and innovate. So, there's new stuff on the website, and hopefully, in fact, I can tell already just from some of the other announcements, there's going to be things that are new to the site, and it's I don't know whether or not you guys have had a chance to see them. So hopefully there'll be something new and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I can, you know, use that. And then, so that's, I'm just on the first slide. But then the second slide, it just says that we're managed out of Jet Propulsion Laboratory. But at this point, I wanted to just make the comment that I feel like we as the Climate and Literacy Network are really in a partnership. And the last couple times I presented, I got such good feedback from everybody on the call that we ended up making updates and you know, adjusting the website according to the feedback that we got. So for me, that's one of the most important things about this particular phone call, is not just for me to be talking, but for me to also be listening to you guys. And I'll just take this opportunity to mention that Randall Jackson, who also is part of our website team, is on the phone call now. And the reason that I wanted him or asked him, invited him to be on this phone call, is so that there's two sets of ears listening to you guys' comments. So, anything?
Welcome, Randall.
Hi there.
Terrific.
Hi.
Thank you. All right. So let's get into it. I guess the biggest, newest thing that's on the website now, I'm on slide 3, is what's called, we titled it a Meteorologist Center. And what I did is I just took a screen grab of the main page and then put that big red circle around where you would click to get to it. So has anybody, this Meteorologist Center has been around since I think either November or December 2012, so it's only been out for like 2 months. And I just wonder, because I know you guys all on the phone call regularly, you're our regular visitors to the site. Anybody had a chance to notice that it was new or been there yet? Any feeders at the trough here? Yes, no. Nobody on the phone call has noticed. Oh, so good. Okay, so that's why I'm here. Okay. See that giant red circle? Click on that thing and open it up. So the origin of the Meteorologist Center is that we have been trying to create these kind of television-ready graphics, really like large, clear, colorful. And if you slide down, if you're on the Meteorologist Center, there's the URL. You'll see slide 4, just that's kind of another tab, right? And what I did was I just wanted you to see what it looks like. Now, the other thing that I'm hoping, and I wonder if there's any meteorologists. I know that meteorologists are part of the Climate Literacy Network. I don't know if any are on this phone call right now. But what I was hoping, ultimately, is that it's not exclusively for, like, you have to be a meteorologist and show your meteorologist card to access these things. I mean, I use them in talks and presentations, and what they are, they're just kind of amazing graphics. So you'll see, like, for the global temperature average, which is the first thing, we've got two choices. You can get a 5-year average or an annual. The annual goes up and down more, and I think I put the annual as slide number 5. So if you click on there, it either goes to a URL which has a full-screen graphic, or you can actually download the full-screen graphic from the computer and put it in your article, your blog. I know people on this phone call are bloggers and write articles. You can use it in your lecture. When it says play 3D movie, I'm hoping some of you are clicking on that 3D movie right now. What happens, it's just very short, is that it starts at the beginning of time and then goes up to current. You get this kind of sense as you watch it of movement and, of course, increase in temperature. And those are all downloadable also. So any feedback or comments about
Are you guys there yet? Were you able to find it? Let's start that.
Laura, I'm a little bit lost. Am I looking on the PowerPoint or am I looking on the website?
I'd like you to go to the website, but if you're really having trouble, what's on the website is on the PowerPoint. Can you make it to the
website? I'll just let you know that I tried to click on annual view full screen graphic, and it's all I get is a white screen.
What's your browser?
Okay, I'm back at the website. Tell me where to go.
So you were on the meteorologist page, right?
I think I'm on the homepage, NASA.gov.
So if you look, if you take a sneak peek back at page 3 of the PowerPoint or of the talk, there's a big red circle around where it says for meteorologists there on the left-hand navigation.
Yes.
So if you click on that.
Oh, I see it. I got it. Okay.
So now that you're on the meteorologist page,
yes.
When you click on full screen graphic or download full screen graphic, are you able to access it?
I was the one that asked about the full screen. This is Tamara.
Oh, okay.
And it's I just get a white screen. It could be that it's just taking a long time to download, but I've tried a few times and I just get a white screen.
Are you on Safari or Firefox or Explorer?
Firefox. Firefox.
It's on here, and I'm on Firefox too, so let me try it on Firefox.
Did you try the movie? Are you playing or downloading?
I was looking at the few. I did also do the movie, which actually worked, but the full screen graphic for annual just comes up a white screen.
I think it's a problem with the Firefox browser, and this is again why Randy's on the phone.
Yeah, is that on a Mac or a PC?
Yeah. No, is that
it's
on a Mac?
On a Mac.
A Mac.
Yeah, I'm not able to reproduce it here, but I'll send a note to our developers that some users, apparently, or at least one user, is not getting that graphic for some reason.
To be honest with you, I'm on Firefox, too, and I get a white screen. This is Laura. And it's,
really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So do you mind trying to have Safari or Internet Explorer, just because I want you to see us?
This is Andy, and I'm on a PC with Explorer, and it's working fine.
Yeah.
Yay. It works on Google Chrome, too.
Yeah.
It's working on Chrome. So who was the person who couldn't open it on Firefox?
That was Tamara.
I think that was Tamara. I'm on this is Jane. I'm on Firefox also, and I'm not able to view the movie.
So I wonder if some of the people who are on Firefox are able to open a different browser like Safari or Chrome or Explorer and have access.
I can try Safari.
Yeah.
I can. Let me give it a shot.
I can try Safari.
But what I'm hoping is that, or what we're all hoping, in fact, we've had a little success with it so far, is that meteorologists are using it on air. But in addition to the meteorologists, I feel like a lot of these full-screen graphics would be really useful for, as I said earlier, bloggers, presenters, people who are writing articles. I mean, it's not exclusive to meteorologists. So we redesigned the global temperature and the carbon dioxide concentrations. And then there are a series of video animations. So there's the global temperature variation. I'm sure you guys have all seen this, starting in the 1800s all the way up to current. It goes full screen. Then there's also the Arctic sea ice and the daily sea ice with winds. And so we're going to keep updating that, and hopefully people like you, in addition to the meteorologists, will use it, and hopefully we'll get some meteorologists on this call eventually, and they'll pick it up too. So other than the fact that it's
This is Tamara. Just so you know, I opened it in Firefox, and it worked just fine.
Oh, good. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So any other comments other than on some browsers it doesn't open properly?
Graphics look great.
Yeah, well, use them. You're a blogger, right?
Not really, but I will use them in other places. So,
okay.
Good.
Lap it up. All right, so that it was, you look at page 4 and 5 of the talk. I used it in the talk. I downloaded the full screen graphic and put it into a talk. So you can see that's page 5 and 6. So other things on the Meteorologist Center, that's page 7, as I mentioned, the various featured animations. And the other thing about all of these things is each one comes with some talking points. If you're back on the website now, you'll see that there's a thing that says key points. And it's basically, if you click on that, just a list of bulleted talking points. You know, if somebody's giving a talk, a presentation, of writing an article, there's important things that shouldn't be missed.
Nice.
That's number 2. Sweet. Okay. So now we're moving down, and I know that we're going to have some use for this one. So if you'll see, we're on page 8, which is tips for educators. And I'll tell you a little story of how this came about. And it relates back to what Andy was saying about the summer opportunity and professional development. And it also relates, is Marion Grogan on this phone call or Susan Burr by any chance? You're going to catch both guys.
No.
Maybe I'll email. But they had sent out like a call for a CAM workshop over the summer. I don't remember exactly what CAM stands for, C-A-M. But,
yeah, that's Juliet. I can speak to you about that, yeah.
Yeah. So in addition to working at Jet Propulsion Laboratory, I also, I like to keep myself in front of the classroom just to kind of keep me on my toes. Anyway, one of the things I've noticed is that students really, really, really respond well to video in the classroom and participating in video in the classroom. So here I'm kind of give a plug for you guys' workshop. It works incredibly well. But one of the things I've done with the videos and my students is, you know how when you're creating a video, there'll be anything. Maybe the students are doing an experiment, or maybe they're just walking around conducting interviews, whatever it is they're doing. But it's fun to intersperse clips of actual science in their video projects. And one of the things I noticed as I was making these with the students in the classroom was that because I work at NASA, I know where all the best footage is. And I thought, well, what do people who don't work at NASA, how do they find this stuff for their classroom? And I've seen a lot of products, and the answer is that sometimes they don't. So what I ended up doing is I created a tip sheet, and if you want to get to it, it says tips for educators, and there's a big red circle around the four educators. And then if you go on there, it should fly out. Let me just get to it myself so I can guide you. So if you kind of mouse over the four educators, the very top thing says teacher's tips. And if you click on that, the very first thing that comes up, it's called tips and tricks for teachers. And that's something I've already talked about with this group before. What it is, it's a downloadable PDF that's hot linked. And it goes through what I think is kind of my favorite things on our website to use in the classroom, and just little to-do and suggestions and that kind of thing. But then if you slide down on that page, it says tips and tricks for new media users. And if you click on that, that opens up, and I've actually copied it and made it into page 8 on the slideshow. And you can hopefully download it there, I believe, but you can also download it, and there's the URL. So what that is it's what I think is NASA's best resources for use in making videos with the classroom. So, again, I'm kind of curious, did anybody bumble onto it or find it accidentally, or do we really need to do this kind of telecom where I show people where our stuff is, and hopefully, I mean, if you guys are doing this summer-long thing on making video in the classroom, this is for you. Hand it out to people, print it, use it.
Yeah, this is great. I did not stumble upon it. I'm definitely familiar with the Climate Reel parts of your website, but yeah, I didn't know about this particular thing. This is Juliet, by the way, so thank you.
Yeah.
So I curate the Climate Reel, and I'm able to use, like, I can just rip stuff out of there because, you know, I have access to it. But this is stuff, and a lot of these products are, they're really short. They're actually clips for putting, so then there's like a 3D view from space, that's an example, or some visible Earth, blue marble stuff, or there's a photography, so you can pull in the astronaut photographs and then Ken burns them. And then some of this USPS Landsat footage is just gorgeous. Now, I use these in videos with students, but I also use them in talks, presentations. So what I'm hoping, again, and this document, it's all hot linked, and it goes straight to what I think is, you know, the four best places if you want to find NASA images, animations, and video clips. I'm hoping that it gets wildly disseminated. And that's the other thing I think about the Climate Literacy Network is that you guys are the best disseminators, or, you know, amongst the best disseminators, I'll say. And so what we're hoping is that, you know, as part of that partnership collaboration that I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we spend most of our time creating products, and we do need help disseminating them. So that's kind of an ask for everybody on this phone call, is to kind of take what you think would be useful and spread it as far as you can. So any questions about this tips and tricks for new media users? And if some of you may have not seen the other earlier document, tips and tricks for teachers, is kind of just thought starters in the classroom. So any comments or questions around that?
That looks great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you'll have, so this is the same workshop as the CAM, Juliet, that I've seen emails around?
Yeah, the CAM refers to Climate Education in an Age of Media. And so, yeah, we're going to be having professional development workshops this summer for teachers.
Well, I hope you get a chance to use some of this stuff. And I'm, as I said before, a big fan of new media in the classroom. It just gets the students, you know, engaged. Probably better than anything else I've ever, you know, done in 12 years teaching. All right, so let's slide forward to page 10. And we have a series of professional development modules that we created in collaboration with PBS. And you can see, I just put a screen grab of both the PBS site and our site on there. And it's related to the tips and tricks as far as the navigation goes. If you remember that For Education button or For Educators button, so the first thing was the teacher's tips. And the second thing that you click on is the professional development modules. Now, we have three on our website, and the third one just went live yesterday. We've got an overview. We've got a module about ice melt in the Arctic. And then the new one is a sea level rise module. And each one of these modules has five parts. So they're really kind of a full-blown, you know, professional development tool. It's free. And then we also have a link to the PBS site, and the PBS site has 10. So we created them dually, but we just decided to host three, and they're hosting all 10. So, again, anybody, you want to take this stuff, you want to use it, you want to share it, you want to use it in your own professional development, I'm just hoping that people find it, use it, and disseminate it.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is with it. And I'll just take this time to mention, as long as you're on the For Educators button, there's a resource collection button. It's the third thing down. And that's where we highlight the Climate Literacy Network. So we're hopefully referring people back to you, and, you know, and it's, as I said, a back and forth, a collaboration, a partnership. You know, just so you guys, I think you should already know that that exists, but just in case there's some phone call. Say again?
Yep, we are aware of it, and we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad at least one thing that we've seen already. Okay, so I'm going to move down then, and as I said, there's a new learning module there. So now Eyes on the Earth 3D, and all of you are hopefully familiar with this product, and I think some of the things that I've gotten off this phone call or these types of phone calls is that everybody wanted the data to be current. So we've been working really hard, and this is, I guess, last year, and Andy, I know that I've worked with you. Andy's one of the people, Andy and Randy, who disseminates Eyes on the Earth 3D for us. And, you know, there was challenges when it was first created, this brand new software that we're really in a new frontier. But I think that phase of the project is kind of over, and we're into the now making this thing, you know, hum a little bit more. And I think it is. So you'll notice that I, on the screen grab of the main page, what I did was just put those big red circles around how to get to Eyes on the Earth 3D. I'm on page 11, so you can get there either of those ways, or you can type in the URL. And then once you get there to that page, you'll see a start button, and you've got to click on it to start. That's on page 12 of the PowerPoint slideshow. And then if you go on page 13, it tells you to click a news archive and select a thumbnail from the bottom, and hopefully this is the time where I hear all the different musics from everybody doing that and making sure it works.
Yep, the newest, latest product that pretty much just got launched, again, end of last year, right before AGU. We launched this product called Headlines Planet Earth, and we had noticed that there that you could go to iSpy Earth to see. Somebody's going to say something. Make sure everybody's kind of having access to the site. Any questions?
It says, for me, it says, this is Tamara. For me, it says, I have to do the Java download, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have the software to run it, you'll have to load it onto your computer. But I've never seen that take that long. You know, there, it's a standard Java applet that many people have. It's, and I'll tell you this, it's way, way less challenging than the 3D Unity player, which used to kind of take a long time to load. I think you have to make sure that the pop-up windows are not blocked. The pop-up comes up and says allow, and then you have to click on allow. But anybody else, any questions about actually accessing the Eyes on Earth 3D, hopefully? All of you guys, hopefully.
I'm kind of stuck at installing this software, so.
Yeah, it's telling me no suitable plugins were found, so I'm kind of stuck.
Randy, do you want to field that one?
Okay. Did you come to a screen that gave you an option to download the program to your desktop?
I thought it was going to do that. I clicked. I got a message about needing something, so I clicked that. But now it's giving me a conclusion. No suitable plugins were found. And then there's a find out more about plugins or manually find missing plugin.
Okay.
I what's happened, there has been some problems with Java and some security issues. So everyone's being asked to upgrade to the latest version of Java. So I think that's
part of that's the issue.
Yeah.
If you don't have the latest version of Java, you should be able to download the application and run it without Java. So I'm not sure if that's what that user is trying to do.
Unable to do so, try a direct download. Let me give that a shot.
There you go.
I tried that too, and one of the things that it doesn't automatically tell you is sort of like in my download download folder, and I actually ended up just guessing and went over there, but didn't actually tell me that.
The other thing I haven't too, just because I have to, you know, allow Java on, you know, because I use Firefox, is sometimes you've got to go into the Firefox preferences, and there'll be one box that needs to be either clicked or unclicked in order to, like, allow pop-ups and add-ons, you know, that could be in the preferences, too. And that's who was somebody was saying earlier that that's a new thing. Firefox just recently changed its preference. Can I just go ahead and move forward with the assuming that soon everybody will be able to access the Eyes on 3D and kind of talk a little bit about this new product? Are we okay with that?
Laura?
Yes?
This is Andy. I have two questions. On the Eyes on Earth 3D, can you still find the GRACE mission on there? I clicked on the water, but it looks
to be... What we did with the, I guess it was the 2.0 version, is it used to be all mission-based. And we realized that if you worked at NASA and you know what the missions are, it makes sense to you, but people don't think mission-based, they think concept-based. So we changed all the mission names to reflect kind of scientific concepts. So instead of calling it OSTM, Ocean Surface Topography Mission, we called it Sea Level. And instead of calling it GRACE, we called it water and ice, I believe, because that's what GRACE does. It doesn't, you know, it uses gravity measurements as the satellite, but what you're actually looking at is the way that water and ice, you know, moves around the planet. So if you
There are two ways you can get the GRACE. You get the GRACE data by clicking on the water and ice tab along the top. And then the tab on the far right is the missions tab, and there's a drop down there that has GRACE listed, so you can also click that.
I see it on the missions tab, and I see also you can look on gravity field data set. I don't have, what did you say it was, water and ice? top. The only thing that looks water-related is the sea level. So I have global temperature, carbon dioxide, and then another carbon monoxide and a sea level tab.
Isn't there one, if you keep going right, where it's a snowflake and a drop?
You know what? There's a blank spot there for me.
Mine says water and ice.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, it sounds like there might have been, you might have a little glitch loading it. You might try just clicking that blank spot and see if it populates.
If that blank spot is where the GRACE data is.
Oh, okay. And I'm clicking on it. I'm not seeing anything, but I can find it when I click. The next icon is data sets, and I can find it there.
Right.
And just one other quick note, Laura, I'll send you an update to our NICE website because you guys have GCCE on there still.
Yeah, I thought we were changing that.
Yeah.
Andy works at Langley, I think this is before you came on the line. But I thought we changed that quite a while back.
Well, I clicked on it, and it took me right to the correct place, but I'll just send you an update, okay?
Send me an update, please. Thank you, and I'll just double-check it.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, so just as an overview of the NASA's Eyes on the Earth portal, I'm running across the top, and as I had mentioned earlier, and I think it could have been from people's feedback on a phone call like this, we decided to change the icons to science concept-based rather than mission-based. And if you look at kind of there's from the left, there's a house, and then there's visible Earth, and then global temperature, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, sea level, and then next to that it's water and ice. It should be a water droplet and a snowflake, and then data sets listed by name and missions listed by name. And then there's also a share button all the way over on the right-hand side, so hopefully people should be able to copy that URL and share it, let's say, on Facebook or in a blog or something like that. But the brand new thing that just got launched end of last year was this thing called Current News, because we realized that, yes, it was really fun to kind of download data sets, but that you could look at things that were happening on planet Earth, let's say now, and there could be a little video news story, and they're all really short. I don't think any of them even go to a minute. Maybe 45 seconds is the longest one. But you'll see how to get there if you go back to the slideshow. If you click on News Archive, and then a bunch of thumbnails, it says, let's see, Show Archive is what you have to click on. And then a group of thumbnails show up at the bottom of the page. And you can click on them, and a little, 45-second news piece. And it's animated, narrated, and you'll see the actual data sets and the eyes data come up. So hopefully you guys will now see these for maybe the first time. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Is there a back button somewhere? Like, I clicked on Current News, and I didn't click on Archive. It just started running the slash and burn agriculture.
Yes, that's the most.
Is there a back button?
There's no way to kind of stop that once it started other than just pushing escape and shutting it down. But if you...
Wait a minute. That's not true, Laura. I think if you hit the home button, that will take you back.
I was just about to say that.
Well, that's what I did. I did hit the home button, but it wasn't... that was the only way I could figure out to get back to see other current news.
Exactly. So there's no, like, you know, traditional back button in that sense, but there's always the home button to get you back home. Yeah. If you look on, if you go see where it says November 2012, slash and burn, and then underneath that is Show Archive, and that'll show you the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little, and hopefully that's going to be populated, you know, as we make more and new ones and as certain events happen, you can see on planet Earth. So there's 5 of them.
Just so that you know, when I clicked a little too soon, and instead of seeing those icons for the different options, it just started playing slash and burn.
Right. Well, that's okay. I mean, it's only 45 seconds long, and hopefully you'll use
it.
Yes? Anybody else? Comments? other than
Scott, I just noticed to go out of full screen to minimize it. It's actually in the lower right corner. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but that's fine.
All right, this is Randy. I'm just curious, is there anyone on the line who's tried to launch this Eyes on the Earth and has not been able to so far? Okay, silence is what we wanted to hear.
That's good, yeah. A little doing,
good.
But
and has anybody tried to click on any of those of the five little archived headline stories and found it, you know, easy to use or, you know, challenging? Or do you think, oh, my gosh, I could actually show this in the classroom or use this in my professional development or, you know, use some of these videos? And, I mean, the point is that we're making them for people to use. So I'm hoping that people will be able to use them. One's on wildfires. One's on the, you know, conditions in the Pacific. One's on the Arctic sea ice minimum that happened over the summer. One was on Hurricane Sandy, and the other's on slash and burn. So we're trying to kind of make it, you know, across the board climate change topics, from fires to hurricanes to El Nino conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then the other thing that's new about Eyes on the Earth is this image of the day, and that should be pretty easy to see. It's up there on the top left-hand corner. And so we're doing an image of the day similar to Earth Observatory, but what we're doing is that all these images are geolocated on planet Earth. So if you click on it, it'll go straight to that image. And then there's also an archive of the image of the day, so you can see all kinds of images geolocated where they are.
Good.
You have to click on the image. It goes to the image. There's a blurb about it, and you'll see that across the bottom there's a browse images, and there's various different images. Pretty wild looking how it, the camera angle zooms in like that.
Yeah, good.
So I'm just looking.
No, that's really good. I like that.
Yay, somebody likes something. Moving lost. I can't even read what it is. I can't pronounce it. It's somewhere in South America. Moving rock at something I can't pronounce. And then to get out of there, as I said, there's no like back button in that sense, but to get back, you push the home button. And that's true in general. Wherever you are, you can just push the home button and it takes you back to the home.
Good.
Cool. It's beautiful.
Thank you. That's what's new with Eyes on the Earth. So let me just reiterate what's new there. One is that, and you'll, if you check this out now or whenever you feel like it, when you look at, let's say, the global temperature I just clicked on, it's February 2013. And so almost all of the data sets are updated as close to current as possible. And that's relatively new, you know, to get all those data sets running. Okay.
Yeah, if you click on, if I can just throw one more thing in, if you click on sea level, you know, it shows a recent month. I guess we're a couple of months behind on that one right now, but you can, it's a good place to look to see if there's an El Nino or a La Nina, mm-hmm. you know, how it's developing. In which case there is, or is none at this point this year.
Neither. Oh, and also I forgot to mention the last new thing is visible Earth, which is, you probably noticed that when you look at Eyes on the Earth, there's no clouds. Visible Earth is actual photographs of planet Earth shown together in a way that it wraps around the Earth. So you can actually see what Earth really looks like, rather than just a data set that has no, with the clouds removed.
But that's updated every day. It's a full body scan of the Earth is uploaded every day. So you're looking at, if you click Visible Earth, the second tab, that is our planet as it looked yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So any questions, comments, notes? Do you need to pause for a second to kind of not up with that, or are you ready to move on to slide 16?
I have a question. This is Tamara. So obviously you're using all of the wealth of NASA data that you have. Do you also use data that is funded from other sources such as NOAA and NSF?
You want me to answer that, Laura?
Yes.
We have not used, we've not built non-NASA data sets into this yet. It's not that we are opposed to, we're quite open to that. There's a lot of logistics involved, even doing it internally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are very interested in doing that, but we haven't you know, been quite given the access
okay.
that we would need yet.
Okay.
And I just feel like every time I present this, I'm still reminding people how cutting edge and how new it is.
Okay.
I mean, like the last time I presented it, you know, there's still people have to download it. You know, people's, you know, graphics don't exactly turn up. I mean, you know, we're trying to create this thing where it never existed before. And for the first year, there was, like, bug crazy. And then finally now, I mean, we've gotten to a point where it's relatively smooth. But, you know, there's outgoing goals that we have. So one of the goals was to make sort of stories on it so that people wouldn't have to kind of figure out, you know, what's happening or how do I find the most interesting data. They could kind of click on a story. And then, yeah, obviously, I guess one of the next steps would be adding more data. That's an ongoing step. In fact, one of the data set we're working on now is the Antarctic ozone hole. We're trying to get that data set live, so that'll be the next one. So we're ongoing adding, like, the visible Earth is a new data set. So I could foresee all kinds of, you know, additional data coming in. Right?
You guys, this is Andy. I think it looks beautiful, and you've done a great job.
Oh, well, I know you're one of our biggest Terminator, so thank you very much.
Yeah, teachers see this and they go gaga over it, you know. It's amazing.
Well, so much fun. That, you know, the teachers who know how what all the data means will obviously know how to use it. But also for teachers who maybe are new to using this kind of thing, now they'll have the archive news events, and so they'll be able to click on something and, you know, for new users, it'll be useful also in that way. So they won't have to kind of, I mean, it'd be nice if people, if small teachers took the professional development courses and knew how to do everything. But even for those who don't, all they've got to do is click a button and they'll have access to stories.
Laura, this is Scott. I just wanted to reiterate how wonderful it is to have almost real-time data. It's very interesting to students.
Awesome.
And I can imagine how hard it is to get all of this up so quickly.
This is Randy. Kind of our ultimate dream was to have a fully real-time, you know, portrait of our planet and all these different data sets. And, you know, we're getting closer to that vision, we hope. But there's also an iPhone or a smartphone version of this called Earth Now.
Huh? Yeah, that's the next slide. That's slide 16.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I getting ahead of your presentation?
Well, I mean, maybe they're ready. You know, that's what's going next.
Okay, there's your segue.
you talk about it. So the next slide is slide 16. And for those of you who know already or who don't know, it's not exactly Eyes on the Earth 3D, but it's the same data. And so, Randy, you want to talk about it? They have a slide of it on slide 16. Well, go for it.
Yeah, this has been quite a hit for us in the iTunes store. It's one of the top education app downloads, and it's super easy to download and use. So
I'm doing it now.
Yes.
So I could try it out. It's kind of a very scaled down version of Eyes on the Earth, but it has a lot of the key data sets, including Visible Earth. So I know people who use Visible Earth instead of their conventional weather app, just to see what the clouds, you know, they do a time series of clouds and see, you know, what weather's moving in. It's really fascinating to look at that and play around with it.
And there's all the data sets are similar: global temperature, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, sea level. ozone, and you can get it on your iPad or your iPhone or both.
It's installing.
Awesome. So you can play with it. It's fun. And the nice thing about that is, you know, you can touch, the, you know, now when you go to Eyes on the Earth 3D on the internet, you use your mouse to kind of zoom and spin the Earth. And on the iPhone and the iPad, you're actually spinning it with your finger. And because it's an iPhone or iPad, it knows where you are. So in mine, it, you know, has a little blue dot over California, you know, just like a map. So that's kind of fun. Okay, so I'll test you guys are downloading that right now.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
I'm to page 17.
Excuse me, how do you download that?
Oh, well, you go to the iTunes store, and you have to search for it in the iTunes store.
Yeah, there's an Android version also available, but however you usually get Android apps.
I was able to do they just on the iPhone, there's an app store, and you can just get it. You actually don't have to go direct to iTunes, but that's where it comes from. But you don't have to go to.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. The app store on your iPhone. Yeah.
Yeah, I just need to know the name of it. Sorry, I had to step up a little bit.
Yeah, it's just Earth Now.
Earth Now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So there's a Droid version. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try and get that then.
Yeah, Earth Now.
Okay.
Great.
Yay. All right, very cool. So I'm on page 17 of the slideshow now. And I just basically, instead of doing this whole thing where I circled the where to find stuff on the main page, I just made a list of other things that are new on the website since the last time we've spoken. And we've had Facebook share buttons on the site for a while, but we just recently went through and made sure that, I mean, I'm sure you guys have noticed this, that for anybody who's on Facebook, some share buttons on some websites are more user-friendly than others, so we did a whole kind of wash of all the share buttons to make them more user-friendly, so pages should be shared, shorn, and interactives and videos and images can all be shared easier on Facebook than they, you know, just making sure everything's easy. Eyes on the Earth data updated, I already mentioned. We have a new interactive. I know a lot of you guys have used the Sea Level Viewer and the Ice Viewer and the Climate Time Machine. We have it's called the Sun, a virtual tour. It's under interactives where you'll find the other interactives. And this just went live, I think, last week, a new page. It's a consensus page, and there's the URL. But if you go to the main page and you just look down the left-hand navigation, you'll see it says key indicators, evidence, causes, effects, consensus. And that's a whole page. If you click on consensus, there's a graph, and it says that 97% of climate scientists agree that, and you can see there's a whole list of all the scientific societies that agree that the climate is increasing. So I think that was really significant because there was some myth that, you know, there's a debate over whether climate scientists is real or not. To actually say that 97% agree makes the point. So, again, that page is less than 2 weeks old. You should be able to do it. I hope you're smart. Okay? So I'm going to move on now to page 18 and just remind you that we try to have at least one or two news stories every week in the main page. And then I want to just have a few slides talking about what's happening in the future. So starting in 2014, so next year, there's going to be 8 NASA Earth missions. So instead of our focus at JPL on Mars so much, there's going to be a focus on Earth. And if you slide to page 20, you'll see listed the 6 NASA Earth missions in in the next 18 months. So there they are. And there's a list of each mission, the title, the launch date, and then exactly what the mission is supposed to be accomplishing. So everything from ocean winds to rain to carbon dioxide, of course, the OCO satellite we're going to relaunch, soil moisture, sea level change is JASON 3, it's ongoing. And then the last one is the weather forecasting and meteorology one. There's a graphic along the bottom of the mission. So it's kind of a big deal for us, and we're hoping that everybody, all of our partners, kind of get together. And if you look on page 21, we're just kind of still working on what is the thematic story about Earth. Because you know, we know that a lot of times when people think about NASA, they think about space. And so we're in celebrate or to honor or to, you know, party around these six missions. We're currently working up what is going to be the story. And then if you go to the next page, page 22, I think this is an old slide that you guys have seen before, but I wanted to kind of just remind you that the way that we came up with the idea of having these quizzes downloadable was somebody from the Climate Literacy Network, and I can't remember who it was, but if you guys remember, you can tell me, said, hey, we really want to use these quizzes. We want to use them when we do presentations, and we want to use them in the classroom. Can you make them downloadable so we can have access to them without being online? And we said yes, and that was a pretty easy ask and a pretty easy, you know, do on our point. So I just want to take this opportunity now that you kind of know what's been recently new in the last year, what's been recently new in the last 2 weeks, and what's coming up in the next year and a half is, you know, I wanted to take time to say, what can we do? What do you guys need? What are we not serving you? What can we do to make your job of disseminating our stuff easier? And then we can kind of make that one for the future goal. And then just the last page, you know, what we've done, and then my name and information. So I think I'm done with everything I had to say. We've still got a couple minutes left. So if there's anybody who has any ideas now, or certainly you can email, what is it that, you know, you need to make your life easier that we could create?
Well, thank you very much. This is really fantastic.
Great.
Are there any questions? I know we've been asking questions all along, but now's another opportunity.
If nobody has any questions, I have one ask, and I'll send an email also. So I've signed up to present. I have a talk that I present about climate change. It's called Climate Change Overload, How to Reconnect with the Planet. And so I go around giving a talk, and there's a conference called Bill. I think BIL stands for Brilliance, Intelligence, or something like that, something BIL Leadership. Anyway, it's like a TED conference, but not as fancy as TED. And they're doing crowdsourcing to decide who gets to talk on the main stage. So I'm kind of a fan of crowdsourcing, but it's also now you've got to work. So they're asking if your talk is going to be one of the promoted talks, you have to get votes. So I will send around in about half an hour a link where you can go and you can click to vote for my talk to make sure that my talk on climate change gets to be one of the ones that's picked. And also, if you click on mine, Randy has a talk too. Randall Jackson is his name, and his talk is about exoplanets. If you're a fan of exoplanets, I'll send it around to the network to just help us and vote for us so that our talks get picked. But that's pretty much everything I got.
What conference is this for? What is this conference again?
BIL. BIL.
It's kind of like Ted's poor cousin.
I see.
Ted's scruffy young brother.
But is this a face-to-face conference?
It is a face-to-face conference. It's in Long Beach in March.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. It's really,
thank you.
There's a lot of things to use and to think about, so it's really great.
Yeah, this whole feedback thing is ongoing. I mean, if you're out there doing your professional development or in the classroom or, you know, promoting your educational materials at any point and you think of anything, you guys have my email.
Great.
So.
Right.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Any other comments and questions before we end for the day? Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Everyone.
Bye.
Bye now.